Our scripture reading this morning will be from Exodus, Exodus 23, 20 through 30. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy of your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works. But you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land.
I want to say again to those who are visiting with us today, we are glad you're here. Thank you for coming today, and I appreciate your desire to be here. And if you are looking for a place to work and worship, consider us here at Eastside. Again, thank you for coming. I've understood that it takes time for sighted people to adjust their vision fully and recognize and understand the world around them if they haven't seen before. I believe the same thing is true of those who suddenly gain their spiritual insight. It takes time to gain spiritual understanding. And if we were to receive it all at once, I believe we would be overwhelmed with that. We would be unable to appreciate and understand what we had. So spiritual understanding, sometimes it comes little by little. You may remember that our Lord mentioned this problem when he was about to return to heaven and leave into the hands of the apostles his work. During the 3 years of his ministry, he had not been able to teach them all that they needed to know. And John reminds us of this in John 16, verses 12 and 13. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Spending 3 years with Jesus, learning all that he had to teach, must have been like trying to take a drink out of a fire hose. Too much at one time. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 33, it also mentions this problem of too much, too fast. And Mark says, and with many such parables, he was speaking the word to them as they were able to hear it. Jesus could only teach them as much as they could assimilate, little by little. This little by little idea that is the input has to be slowed so that adequate assimilation can take place is the theme, I think, in a number of passages of Scripture. And in the lesson today, I want to call our attention to two of these passages. One of those was just read in your hearing, and that is Exodus chapter 23, verses 20-30. But the last two verses of that reading I will remind you of, as God has told them there, as they're going to take the land, all the things that would happen and all the things He would do and all the things they were to do and not do. And He said, I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. Now the parallel in the second passage that goes with that is Deuteronomy chapter 7, and the verse number is 22. And the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. Now, when Israel was ready to take and go into the promised land under Joshua, God did not allow them to conquer it all at once. It was not to their advantage to do so. If the land were conquered too much at a time, it would grow up and the wild beasts would have a chance to possess it. Wild animals would move in. He told them that He would give it to them little by little. See, they'd been marching for 40 years, and some of them probably misunderstood God's intent here. Why He would not move more quickly and give them all the land that He'd promised to them, it's easy for us to see that what He did was in their best interest. And likewise, I believe it's important for us to see that often is the case, the way God deals and operates in our lives, little by little. Now, if we don't understand this biblical principle, we are going to be frustrated and discouraged as Christians. We will not enjoy our spiritual journey with Christ if we do not understand the principle of little by little. So let me show you some places in the Scripture where this little by little principle occurs. And we'll spend our time there this morning. Hopefully it'll be beneficial to us. And we can look out for this principle in our lives. First of all, the little by little principle is often seen in God's answer to our prayers. How often do we pray and ask God to do something in our lives only to be disappointed when we don't get the answer right away? You see, we're used to getting things instantly in our day. And I think it's hard for us to wait. We are used to waiting. We don't want to wait for anything. We don't want to wait on dinner. We don't want to wait to get things done. We want to buy things quickly. We have fast food, fast cash, fast living, and we come to expect that. What would we do without our remote control? We can quickly and fastly change from channel to channel. What about the garage door opener? You don't have to get out of your car, go and open the garage, get back in the car, pull it in, then close it. You just punch the button even as you're driving toward your driveway, and by the time you get there, the door's open. We don't want to wait on the thing. We want it open now. We have microwaves. Did you know you can take a big old baked potato, put it in a microwave, and cook that thing in about 3 or 3.5 minutes? You got a baked potato. Take an ear of corn, keep all the shuck on it, put it in there, and you can have you an ear of corn about 2 or 2.5 minutes. Take that shuck, pull it right off, all the silk and everything will come right off, and you just there, you got you a hot ear of corn. So we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait to boil that corn. We don't want to wait 45 minutes to an hour to put our baked potato in the oven. We have email. We have fax machine, ATM machines, express lanes, paint that dries in 30 minutes. Pay at the pump and drive through windows. Then we encounter a need that only God can fill. We go to Him in prayer, only to discover that His timing and planning of passing out blessings is not the same as ours. You see, we're not used to waiting. Then we encounter a need. Here it comes. It doesn't happen. So we want to be able to answer, be the answer to our prayers. So we want to make things happen. And then we say, God, I did it. We don't understand. We're not humble enough to come before the invisible God. Realize that He's silent. And it feels like an insult. Like Job in Job 30 and verse 20. I cry out to Thee for help, but Thou dost not answer me. I stand up, and Thou dost turn Thy attention against me. Can't you hear the frustration in Job's voice? God wasn't listening to him, or so he thought. At least God wasn't answering him. Of course, later in the book of Job, we read that God had been listening all along in Job 42 and verse 12. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning. Do you think those Israelites trying to drive out some of those enemies of Canaan only come to find them unbeatable? Most have wondered about God. You told us You were going to give the enemies to us into our hands, so why isn't it working out that way? I think due to this little by little principle, we would do well to ask ourselves some questions. Do I have faith in God when I don't see immediate answers to my prayers? Do I still have faith in Him when I don't get the immediate answer that I have asked for from God? Do I tend to take matters into my own hands when God doesn't meet my timetable? Do I patiently wait or impatiently fret when God delays? William Graham Scroggie wrote, "The Almighty is working on a great scale and will not be hustled by our peevish impetuousness." We need to remember that God answers our prayers little by little. And that such delays does not mean He's not listening to us or that He ceased answering prayers. 23 years. Imagine, 23 years transpired between the time Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers in Genesis 37. Until the time his brothers came and bowed down before him as a childhood dream was predicted. 23 years between those two events. I think we can all see that God blessed Joseph immensely. But also it was little by little. 40 years had passed between the time that Moses heard the people's cry to help the mud, get them out of the mud pits in Egypt. And God finally sent him to the courts of Pharaoh. Yes, sometimes God works spectacularly to answer our prayers on the spot. And we love it. I just love that. Don't you? We ask God and all of a sudden here's the answer. But probably more often He works little by little. Like we as His children. He's raising us as His children to become more like His Son, in the image of His Son, who learned obedience by the things in which He suffered. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. See, when we teach our children, we don't give them everything they want at one time. Little by little we teach them and we give them and we respond to their needs. This principle is also seen in the gaining of wisdom and maturity. We know that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously and without reproach. and it'll be given to him. James reminds us of that in James 1 and verse 5. The promise of wisdom is there in the Bible for sure. What we don't find in that verse is a timetable. That's because wisdom, like a giant plant or a small plant, grows day by day. And only in those who seek it can we find wisdom. Sometimes I hate to admit it, but my generation and the one that followed me is about the dumbest generation that's ever come along in history. We have advanced learning tools like the computer. We can land a man on the moon. We can clone sheep. We can grow hair on bald heads. But many of us can't keep our families together. We can't even balance our checkbook. We can't decide whether marriage is between a man and a woman or two men or two women. We can't decide that. Take the cell phone that you have. Look at all that that cell phone will do. It's an encyclopedia. It's a camera. It's a calculator. Gives you the weather, the news, guides you, GPS. It's a dictionary. Keeps accurate time. It's a calendar. On and on we go. Look at that, what we have in our hands. Gaining all this knowledge. The absurdity of our view of adulthood and maturity is also seen in what we call adult language. You no doubt have seen ads from time to time with these words on them, warning. This program contains adult language, viewer discretion advised, adult language. Let me tell you some adult language that you don't need to plug your ears up. What about character? Integrity? Commitment? Forgiveness? Sacrifice? Determination? Moral values. That, my friends, is adult language. What many people call adult language today is made up of words that come from lazy, filthy, foul, undisciplined, immature tongues. We have it all around us. What we need today is a large amount of wisdom. But we've bought a bill of goods and says knowledge will suffice. It isn't hard to understand why knowledge can be gained rather quickly. But wisdom grows little by little. Wisdom is more than knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge to life and make it work. It comes from experience and time. Now, knowledge tells us that a tomato is fruit. Wisdom says you don't put it in a fruit salad. Little fellow was trying to grow up and mature, and he had a problem with the behavior, and his parents were having a little session with him. And finally, he spoke up and he said, "In my defense, it was the new moon, and I was left unsupervised." Maturity is a companion of wisdom. I don't believe it's held in high regard today. This generation worships youth and indiscretion. Sometimes when someone calls out those who are acting indecent, trying to show some common sense, the chorus and response is, "He's old," or "He's outdated." Disdain for things that take time to develop. And we see respect for older people disintegrating. Ann Landers reduced the issue of maturity to a few practical examples. when she said, maturity is the ability to do a job whether or not you are supervised. It's the ability to carry money without spending it and to hear an injustice without wanting to get even. Someone else said that instead many people are like wheelbarrows. They have to be pushed all the time and they're easily upset. Wisdom and maturity comes little by little, and we also see this principle played out in gaining wealth. In Proverbs 28 and verse 20, there is a contrast there between the faithful man who will abound with blessing and the man who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. Why? Because he has the wrong goal in mind. He has the wrong goal. He's minded to be rich. It was Paul who reminded Timothy, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. In Proverbs 20 and verse 21, an inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Money and inheritance. More money than you've ever had. Didn't have to work for it. Don't realize the value of it. Start a lavish lifestyle that you cannot keep up. Come easy, come go. It goes easy, comes easy, goes easy. And so we care. It becomes a curse. In Proverbs 28 and verse 22, a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him. That's a sign that people ought to pay attention to, these get-rich schemes. Get-rich-quick schemes need to be avoided. It's so easy to get caught up in the debt trap. All it takes is a desire for instant gratification to get ahead of our earning power, add a little envy, a few slick commercials, and you're in. This is one thing I have come to realize and observe, that there are young married couples that want in their first year of marriage what it took their mom and daddy 25 years to acquire. They don't want to wait on it. They want it now. As I've said before, we borrow money, buy stuff that we can't afford to keep up with people we don't like. And then they refinance. So we see someone with a new car, a new furniture, a new house, a new watch. And pretty soon we've got to have that because we think we are as good as they. What I'm saying to you is wealth is gained little by little. We see this principle also in the gaining of honor and prestige. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. All of us would like to be honored by others. We like to make a contribution where we recognize that we have been valuable and people appreciate what we do and that we've made a difference. And it's entirely possible for that to happen and that to be right. But in most cases, there are no shortcuts. In most cases, if we don't want to use our godly heritage in the process, we have to depend upon God's timing. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. You see, honor and respect must be earned, and they come at the proper time. Have you noticed it's getting harder and harder to find genuine heroes today? Increasingly hard to find role models. The difference between a hero and a celebrity is the difference between a General Douglas MacArthur and a Dennis Rodman. A Dr. Jonas Salk, who gave us the polio vaccine. and John McEnroe, who gained notoriety by throwing chairs at officials on the tennis court. Celebrity status can be gained overnight, but it takes character. It takes time to develop that character. Little by little, at the proper time, there's not a quick route. And so I'm wondering if there are those here today who would like to be a good role model. In Proverbs 26 and verse 1 says, like snow in summer, like rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Poor raising, poor rearing, and poor set of values will not give you honor. Yet we pass out honor to people. It seems like the celebrities today are the ones whom we honor and give dignity to. We need real heroes today. Could you possibly be one of them? If so, you must realize that true honor and prestige, not celebrity status, comes, watch it, little by little. And also our appreciation of heaven, we see this principle little by little. As a new Christian, I was puzzled by that song, Sweeter as the Years Go By. I didn't understand that. As I watch people grapple with the ravages of old age, the disappointments of life, I thought that songwriter must be something wrong with him. Sweeter as the years go by, seems like they get worse. Aches and pains and a slower pace. Like the physician's wife who said, my husband gave one of my friends so many iron tablets that the only time she feels really good is when she faces magnetic north. Other guy said, I want to die peacefully in my sleep like my granddaddy, not screaming in abject horror like his passengers. Then there's the one that goes like this. Childhood is when you make funny faces in the mirror. Middle age is when the mirror gets even. The truth is, getting older isn't what it's all cracked up to be. It wasn't until later that I discovered that that's not what the songwriter had in mind at all. He wasn't talking about life getting sweeter. He was talking about the anticipation of our heavenly inheritance getting sweeter. And indeed, the infirmities of approaching age can make it so. The older I get, the more I think about heaven. Matter of fact, I've already got a cemetery lot. I'm ready to go. It's all paid for. Prepaid. I'm ready. Years ago, a man called me on the phone, said, I'd like to come out and talk to you about the plots of the cemetery. I said, I'm not interested. I was young and didn't think I'd ever die. Now as the shades of night began to fall, I began to see sweeter as the years go by. That appreciation for heaven. But yet in youth we have this cockiness. We laugh at the geezers around us. Young people have no idea what's in store for them. I laugh because one of these days you're going to wake up and it's going to hit you. First thing you'll notice, something slipped. Then the next thing you notice, it slipped out. Then it slipped down. And it starts to malfunction. And eventually you have as many aches as you do moving parts. And you'll get in the rocking chair and you can't get it going. And your children will begin to look middle age. And your back goes out more than you do. And then Solomon called it the evil days when we say we have no delight in them. No, it isn't our physical condition that gets sweeter. It's what happens to our hope as our physical condition deteriorates. We transfer our hope to heaven, and that comes little by little by little. And I watched this happen with me over the years. In the cockiness of my youth, now as older age, not as cocky as I used to be about that. Now, I'm cocky about some things. About my opinion, I'm an expert on my opinion. I hope you are too. If you're not, you need to get you one that you're an expert on. The poet Edmund Waller put it this way. The soul's dark cottage, battered and decayed, lets in new light through chinks that time hath made. Stronger by weakness, wiser men become as they draw near to their eternal home. Our appreciation of heaven grows little by little. And I hope some of you are beginning to realize that. Watch for these little by little principles. Watch them show up in your life. Learn about them. Expect to see them in the way that God sometimes answers prayer, in the gaining of wisdom and maturity. As you accumulate wealth, watch this principle. As you seek honor and acceptance, watch it. Look for it. As life goes by and you see appreciation of heaven grow, watch that and appreciate it. And so you see, I don't know, so I have to ask. I don't know. Do you have that assurance of heaven today? If you were to die before the sun goes down, would you go to heaven? No doubts. And if you say yes, I say great, wonderful. But if you don't have that hope in Christ, why would you leave this building today in that condition? You may be like the captain. He'd been assigned this ship. It was his first time out. He was so proud, so overjoyed, so enthusiastic. And everything was going well. Except one evening a light was coming toward them. He told his navigator, send a signal, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. And he did. Immediately, a response came back. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. He said, what? Who? What? You send that message again. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. This is the captain. Immediately, a response came back. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. This is the lighthouse. It may be you're on the wrong path today. And all you need to do is alter your course. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. But narrow is the gate and straitened is the way that leads to life. And only a few shall find it. You need to alter your course. Do you have the courage of conviction as a believer to do that today? Little by little you have come to this point of belief. that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to unashamedly confess that with your mouth before this group of people today. As you turn from all your sin, confess what you believe about the deity of Christ. That is, He is the Son of God. And be buried with your Lord by baptism into death, raised to walk in newness of life. As you die to self-rule, self-will, He'll add you to the church, give you the name Christian, ask you to wear that name proudly. Be faithful unto death, the crown will be yours. See, to get you to this point, it has happened little by little. And God says, now what are you going to do with that information? I invite you to come, He says. Then He waits to see what you'll do. Will you come as we stand and sing?